Good morning, Lee. Oh, that's hilarious. Karine Jean-Pierre and our government. Oh, we don't know who leaked.
Right.
We don't know. We're so confused. We don't know who posted it. It's so confusing. I know exactly who posted it.
Yeah, Iranian NSA. Sympathizers within the State Department and Defense Department.
Exactly. In their regime.
In their regime, yes, exactly.
Absolutely. That's who did it. And if they wanted them in handcuffs right now, they would be.
Absolutely. And which they should be.
Mm-hmm. They should be. I mean, when you look at the fact of how extensive our NSA spying network is, we are in the cables, okay, the actual cables in the ground. Everything that moves through the Northern Hemisphere is captured. The idea that we don't know and we're so super confused. Look, there's a very long history with these Democrat administrations, both Obama and then the deep state during Trump's administration, which was still part of the Democrat administration, of people who leak devastating things that they should go to prison for the rest of their life by law, not my opinion.
Yes, exactly.
Like they have violated laws and nobody ever gets prosecuted. And this is just another one of those leaks. And they are trying to help Iran, as they have been trying to help Iran since the beginning of the Biden administration, when they greenlighted $195 billion for Iran. They lifted all of Trump's sanctions, Lee, in exchange for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing.
Nothing. We just like y'all. Here, have $195 billion. Oh, hey, you know, we've got these other accounts over here with $16 billion in actual cash. Do you want some? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, just tell us it's for food or something, and we'll let you draw it down. Mm-hmm. We could trust you.
And that you're not going to use it to expand your military nuclear program.
What's ironic about this is there's another article out there today talking about the green lighting of Israel to hit Iran by other Middle Eastern countries, including Saudi Arabia, that they're doing it through back channels. So while you have, Kamala and Joe allowing these kind of leaks and pretending they can't do anything about it, and it's pretend, you have actual Middle Eastern countries going, stop this. This place is on fire. And I'm not kidding. We're going to have World War III if this woman gets elected. It's already pre-scheduled. It's a disaster. We don't need this. We don't need any of this. We had peace under Trump. The other countries in the Middle East want peace, too. They do. They don't want to live this way.
You know, I was looking at what the classical definition of World War was, and we are only one step away.
Yeah.
Because we already have armed military conflict, actual fighting, actual combat in multiple locations around the world. We have multiple nations that are involved. I mean, if you look at the situation with Israel, that involves the U.S., Israel, actually several of our other allies like Australia, Great Britain, and France, and, you know, maybe some others that aren't being named. Then, of course, you have Iran, you have Lebanon and Syria there. We also have, like in Ukraine, you have NATO against Russia and other Russian allied troops there, or nations there, and you have North Korean troops. There are 12,000 North Korean troops that are in Ukraine fighting for Russia. Okay, then we can go into the conflicts in Africa. Then we can go into what's going on in the you know, around Taiwan and in South China Sea, the conflicts, the ramming of Philippine and Taiwan boats by Chinese Navy. There is armed military conflict going on all over the world right now. And the only thing that we don't have that would complete the definition of World War III is the massive movement of troops and military conflict. We're just one step away.
That is planned for 2025. Yeah, I've documented that exhaustively. The chairman chiefs of our Joint Chiefs of Staff has said they will go to the battlefield. He's talking about American troops. They will go to the battlefield. We are going to start training Ukrainian troops at the battlefield, on the battlefield, and we will have to provide air cover to keep them safe. Well, air cover against who in Ukraine? Well, it'd be the Russians. We're talking about an air war. He said it was inevitable. It's going to happen. He would not put a date on it, but he said it was going to happen. And what he means is after this election, we can't do it before. I have been documenting there. They have scheduled World War III for 2025. And we know in detail where the troops will be. We know American troops will be on the ground in Ukraine fighting Russia, which is so insane. You can't wrap your mind around it, but they are planning it. And we know that because Germany's plans for the actual war leaked. Not general plans, which all countries have for going to war with. I mean, we have plans for going to war with Iran and Russia that we keep under wraps.
Yeah, contingency plans. Possible conflict that's out there.
No, this was different. These plans were detailed about where German troops will be, where NATO troops will be, where Russian troops will be January, February, March, April, as they begin to gear up for World War III. It is planned. NATO had to come out and deny that this is going to happen. After somebody, thank God for them, leaked those German war plans. And we had the Slovakian president say, look, I'm a member of NATO. I'm in on all these conversations. They are planning a world war for 2025. And when he came out and said it, the Brits denied it. We ignored it. But France went, yeah, we are. And oh, by the way, we want to start early. Here's 25,000 troops. And Vladimir Putin came out and said, look, you can send French troops into the war zone. You can do it. But we will target them first. In fact, we will target them foremost. They'll be targeted for murder, to be killed, ahead of Ukrainian troops. Do not think we're going to let you run around the war zone in Ukraine. And Macron backed down. But the key part there was that Macron, when asked, are you guys planning, is NATO planning World War III for 2025 after the Biden administration is reconstituted? They didn't deny it. And they said, we think it's a good idea. And here, by the way, we want to send the troops. Understand what's going on. And I've warned people, I would not, if you've got that high schooler who's thinking about joining the military, I would not do it until you see the outcome of this election. Because you do not want to be on the ground in Ukraine in hand-to-hand combat with Russia. You don't want that. You don't want to be on the ground in a shooting war with Russia, because it is not going to be like a shooting war with Afghanistan or Iraq or somewhere else that doesn't have the tech we do. Russia can hold its own, and they've got a lot more troops, and we don't need to be fighting them. We don't. We do need to be fighting and brutalizing them, Lee. And I very much would like to undertake that fight, but we got to start by doing it economically.
Mm-hmm.
We could really put the hurt on Russia economically.
Yeah.
But they won't do it. Well, the Biden and Harris administration won't do what it takes to do
the
that.
The Trump
and that
administration
is,
was doing it.
They
That's
were.
Why we were not facing a conflict with Russia at that time. And, of course, the Biden administration, did away with virtually all of that. And that is why we are in a situation where we're in conflict with Russia now.
Look up, if you don't believe me, look up what J.D. Vance has said about the draft coming. Mm-hmm. Okay, he would know.
He's not the only one that has talked about that from either party.
Look up what Laura Ingraham has been talking about. She's warning people, listen, you're going to get... You are going to have to fight. If you are in the military, you are going to have to fight Russia on the ground. Go look inside these liberal publications like BuzzFeed. They're starting to feed the idea of a draft to them. If they think they can't be beaten, I'm telling you, these people going to fight in Russia, it ain't going to be anything like what they think it is. And we tell ourselves, this political class, Russia's not going to retaliate with nukes. Russia would never use nukes. Russia will let us fire as many long-range missiles into Russia proper and kill its citizens as we like. They won't retaliate. They're afraid of nuclear war. I wouldn't bet on that. I really wouldn't. Because our political class, Lee, has been dead wrong about everything about Russia and this war from the beginning. They're going to be wrong about that, too. But we've got a really good opportunity to stop all of this. The best way to beat Russia is to flood the zone with oil. That is the number one thing that they sell. The number two thing that they sell, so over 60% of their government funding is natural gas. We flood the zone with both of those instead of cutting off permits. We bring the price of gas down. We collapse it and we make Russia hurt. That's how we control Russia.
You collapse their economy. It would do the same thing to Iran.
Easy.
Take care of two of the axes at one time.
But we have to stop pretending that man-made climate change / global warming is real and use our economic policy as a weapon. That's what we have to do. And the Democrats are not willing to do that. They'd rather fund Iran and cause chaos. But when I heard Corinne Jean-Pierre on the news, I about came out of my chair earlier. We don't know who did this. Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Well, you know who posted it. You know whose Telegram account it was. You watch everything.
Yeah.
They have everything. Lee, they have every keystroke you and I have.
I know.
Even if we didn't hit send, they have that. They have all of the IP addresses. They have every text we've sent. They have every email we've sent. They have everything we do online 100% of the time. And they know exactly who posted that.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just pretending they don't. And that's because they're on Iran's side.
No.
They are. They're on Iran's side. And this is how they help. You know, this is going to be devastating to us because our allies are learning We are not an ally. You cannot share war plans with us. You cannot share intelligence with us. You have to be careful what you tell us if Democrats are in office, because it's going to end up all over the front page of newspapers all over the place.
Well, and Netanyahu already knows that.
He does. He knows that Kamala and Joe, when it comes right down to it, are on Hamas's side, that they have funded Hamas and paid for this war to the tune of $1 billion that they funneled to Hamas via those charities by not doing any background checks on who they were giving the money to.
Netanyahu is doing a brilliant job of handling the U.S.
The good news is
the Biden administration, I should
Netanyahu
say.
Netanyahu is a lot smarter
than he is.
Anybody in the Biden regime.
Yeah.
And so he has been able to run circles around them. But, I mean, if you're wondering just ask yourself, how is Hamas affording this war? They're poor. They were poor before this. Yeah. Hamas is the government of Gaza. They elected a terror organization. And we've just learned in the last couple of weeks the $1.1 billion that Joe and Kamala funded to Hamas by not checking the charities they were giving the money to. They allowed them to self-report whether they were terrorists or not. I still can't get over that from last week.
Yeah.
Hey, here's $1 billion. Excuse me, though. I got to ask, are you a terrorist? No, we're not. Okay, good. Cool. We'll transfer it then. Enjoy that. They know they're funding Hamas. Israel knows we are the chief funder of Hamas. They know that. They know that we are the enemy under Democrats. And if Trump is back in office, that won't be the case. So anyway.
2 weeks to go.
2 weeks.
A fortnight, as the Brits would say.
Yeah. Somebody, by the way, in Wisconsin, a number of somebodies has requested over 30,000 absentee ballots be mailed to places that cannot receive mail. 30,000. Let's pull Wisconsin off the wall here. We've actually got a Republican group that's tracking this now. Let's see. Wisconsin, how much did Biden win by? 20,000. So we are shattering election records. This is great news. We're going to have to shatter them by tens of thousands of votes per swing state in order to beat this stuff. But I think we can do it. All that coming up.
Now we'll look at traffic from the News Talk 98.9 WORD Traffic Centers.
Well, over the weekend, the Democrat Party broke up with Christians. No longer welcome if you are a Christian. Made that really clear. Right along with as two young men were ejected, jeering them as they went. One of them on Laura Ingraham last night said he was assaulted. He was attacked by an older woman who pushed and shoved him out the door as Kamala Harris mocked them. Folks, 20 years ago, this would have been unfathomable. You can't even, I mean, so nonsensical, you can't even comprehend it. But not today. This is who the Democrats really are.
Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally. The smaller one down the street.
All he yelled was Jesus is Lord. Laughing, mocking, jeering. Well, Trump responded to that overnight. And he was specifically referring to the Democrats sending the FBI into the Catholic Church to spy on traditional Catholics without having what's called predicate. Predicate means evidence of a crime. They just don't like them. So they decided they would spy on them. They disagree with them. They are fundamentalist Catholics. And believe me, they will come for fundamentalist Christians too. Trump says if you elect him, though, it ends.
As soon as I take the oath of office, I will stop Kamala Harris' weaponization of law enforcement against Americans of faith. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. And, you know, I'm just, did you ever notice? So it's.
An anti-terrorism committee, remember, under Joe Biden, of which former CIA director under Barack Obama, John Brennan, was a member. They had an internal terrorism planning committee, in other words, to plan their strategy against terrorism. Top two groups, they advocated surveilling Trump supporters and Christians. You absolutely are believed to be a terrorist and a threat to whatever democracy is. I don't know. They say our democracy. I don't even know what that is. You are believed to be a threat to that, even if you've never hurt a soul in your life. Speaking of souls, Trump said this about Christians.
Americans of faith are not a threat to our country. Americans of faith are the soul of our country, right?
Yeah. I still am trying to figure this out from this weekend. What was the point of stopping the rest? She could have ignored the guy yelling Jesus is Lord because it was so muffled. I think most people would have missed it. But she couldn't help herself. She stopped it, cackled, mocked them. That's who she really is. And it's not just us. Even Democrat voters are showing signs of buyer's remorse. See the article in The Hill? Maybe we picked the wrong candidate. Wait, what? Yeah, maybe Joe Biden would have been better. Look, folks, we all remember when Joe Biden won the presidency from his basement. However, he did that. He was showing obvious signs of dementia then, but it didn't seem to slow him down. Harlan Ullman, Democrat, strategist, writing in The Hill, with the November 5th election just, oh boy, with the November 5th, it is, right? Election just over a fortnight away. Here's an intriguing thought experiment. By most accounts, this election is still a horse race too close to call. But although Vice President Kamala Harris quickly assumed the presidential mantle from Joe Biden and put in place an impressive startup, October has not been particularly kind to her. Donald Trump has closed the electoral gap. Some believe he's actually winning. It goes on to say maybe Biden would have been a better candidate despite suffering from the effects of age and 81 years. You think? Think about this. This is them saying the demented guy who could barely cobble sentences together in that debate with Trump this summer might have been a better candidate than this one. But folks, this right here, this montage I'm about to play you, is what the media was saying about Kamala Harris when she was still vice president, when no one thought she would get the nomination. Take a listen. This is, they know who she really is, okay? They're not confused. Here we go.
There are reports that say that you have the lowest approval rating of any vice president.
Well, there are polls that also say I have great approval ratings.
Swing voters don't like Harris. How big a drag is Kamala Harris on the ticket?
She's a pretty big drag. I think she was arguably Biden's worst political decision.
They don't like her. There's lots of reasons they don't like her.
Kamala Harris's approval rating is now at 28%, which is an historic low for any modern vice president.
We're hearing it from mainstream media, one outlet after another, one leak after another, that Kamala Harris is the worst vice president ever, the worst politician ever.
We don't see the vice president. What people are saying to me, and I'm sure they're saying it to you, where is the vice president?
Some White House officials are feeling that she came off looking unprepared for inevitable questions about when she might visit the southern border.
We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
The point that Lester Holt was making was obvious to anyone else who was watching this interview, which is that the issues at the border are inextricably linked with the portfolio that she's been given.
The border is secure. We have a secure border.
Bidenomics is working.
Prices have gone up. And families and individuals are dealing with the realities of...
Folks, that's all mainstream media. This is why she had a 28% approval rating at one point, and the White House stopped sending her out. That's what Joe Scarborough is referring to there. They stopped sending her out to represent them because she was a drag. So, yeah, the demented guy who doesn't seem to know where he is sometimes might have been a better choice. Have you gone to vote yet? You need to vote early. Friend of mine sent me this yesterday. She tried to vote in Spartanburg. Here's how that went. This is just early voting. We are shattering voting records all over the place. They just clobbered the voting record in Georgia. In other words, the lines are long. But they're going to be much longer on election day. Here's what she wrote. Just tried to vote early on lunch break. Hour wait to get in. Traffic backed up. Police directing. People parking on adjacent properties and walking in. So this is her early voting place in Spartanburg. She texted me yesterday. I had to leave, but do not fear. She writes to me, I will be back. Your message to vote early is so important. She texted me yesterday. So I said, you know, hey, just keep trying. And she texted back that she found that it was actually easier to go in the afternoon. She tried again yesterday and ended up voting at 4:30 after only a 30-minute wait. Folks, do not wait until election day. Unless you just plan to take the whole day off, go ahead and tell your boss, I'm going to take the whole day off and I'm going to stand there all day. Then, yeah, do it that way. Otherwise, start now. And just going at lunchtime may not be the solution unless you want to take a two-hour lunch. Now, folks, this is good news, okay? Don't misunderstand this. This is giving me chills because I think that there are a lot of people out there who actually get it. This is our last chance. We don't have another chance to save the First Amendment. It's over. It's done. They win. We don't have another chance to save the economy. We don't have another chance to save the dollar. We don't have another chance to be able to afford food when we go shopping. Because they're going to do it again. They're going to print this money again. They're going to put it on steroids if you do not punish them. Headline, Yahoo News. Georgia shatters early voting records. Good. They're getting it. You need to bank your vote. Do not give them the power over you. There's kind of this weird conspiracy rumor spin out there for a couple years. It drives me nuts. Well, I'm going to show them I'm not going to show up till election day, and then they won't know how many votes they need to print, any fake ballots they need to print. Yeah, but you know what they will know? How many of us voted? And you know what else they'll know? How to gum up the works. I'll go ahead and put 3 machines when we know 10 are needed and watch the line stack up. What you going to do? Come back tomorrow? Haha. Election's over. Or how about we send 600 ballots? And I'm talking to you folks who are going to vote in North Carolina and Georgia specifically. You're in purple states. You know what they did in Houston to try to affect the vote there against Republicans? They distributed just 600 ballots to each polling place, including polling places where the previous, you know, election, 1,800 people had voted. And they went, did we not put out enough ballots? Shoot. Hours long wait. KHOU 11 in Houston covered it. They were covering it months later. The boards of elections said, well, you know, we just looked at past voting patterns and then we just sent as many ballots as are needed. Really? You sent 600? Because the average vote total was 1,800. They did it on purpose. How about Maricopa 2022? They shut down the voting machines in half the GOP precincts, created hours long lines. How did they do that? Remember? They ordered ballots that were the wrong length. Oh, there's all kinds of tricks they can play. You don't want to get caught the last day. And folks, this is particularly relevant. I'm talking about Georgia and North Carolina, where there's going to be all kinds of hijinks there. This was Harris County in Houston. They know exactly how many will need to vote for Trump to win, and they will start messing with these precincts in ways that are unethical, but not necessarily illegal. You need to vote now. And again, this is just, my friend, just yesterday. And here, look, here's the great news. People are mobbing the polls. That's great. If that's going on in Spartanburg, that's probably us. It's probably our side. That's, if people are doing this, it's probably, quite frankly, voting here in South Carolina is awesome. I'm going to talk to you about some stuff that's on the ballot coming up that you need to know about. They want you to pay a second time to pave state roads. You've already paid once. They want you to pay again. I think it's just so they could dole money out to their contractor friends, the Greenville County Council. This is one of the most absurd things I've ever seen anybody put on a ballot. But the good news is, when my friend writes in Spartanburg, she's going to vote, just tried to vote early, hour wait to get in, traffic backed up, police directing people parking on adjacent properties, they're getting it. Be a part of that. Be a part of that. Make it so they can't even steal this election. It would require too many ballots and it would be too obvious. Because we can do that and we are doing that. That is the pull right now. You gotta vote early. There's only 8 days left. Vote early, vote early, vote early, vote early. Do not give them the power of waiting until election day, because anything can go wrong. Electrical outage, convenient plumbing problem. We've seen that in Georgia before. They pulled that one in Georgia. So, and I think, one secret to doing this, maybe take your lunch hour late if you're at work. Or take it at like 2 or 3, eat lunch at your desk. There seems to be a lull in the afternoon in early voting, but you got to get there. You have to get there. By the way, you've got to get there in Greenville County, or we're going to be paying, folks, 7% sales tax up from 6. Are you kidding me? To pay for roads. Now, you may look at the ballot if you're in Greenville County and go, oh, I love roads. Yeah, I want to build some more. This place is a mess. Yeah, there's something you should know about those roads. You already paid to fix them. You already paid to pave them once before. Yes, at the gas pump. You know, the part where you paid the gas tax? Yeah, those roads are supposed to be paved with the gas tax. They want to charge you again, the Greenville County Council, a second time. Pay a second time so they can pave them. Quote, this is District 25 Greenville County Council, District 26 Greenville County Councilman Rick Bradley. And by the way, this is WYFF. Good for them for admitting this. Quote, the majority of the roads are state roads that are going to be paved. We pay a gasoline tax for that. So I'm not in favor of just throwing more money at a project that we already have money. Benton Blunt, who's going to be on the show at 8 this morning, County council member, asked the bureaucrats point blank, why don't we just bill the state for paving these roads? He can't get an answer. He never has. I'll tell you why. There are people on the council who have friends who will profit from paving these roads. Those friends write checks to their campaigns. They figure you'll see roads, you hate traffic, you'll vote yes, and you won't ask any questions like that you're paying a second time to pave these roads. They need to either sue the state to pave these roads, or they need to bill the state for the roads. And if they won't pay, sue them. Because paying twice is just stupidity. And yes, we do need the roads for development, but there's this other thing we make money from here too. It's called tourism. You throw a 7% tax on people for roads you already paid once at the gas pump to pave? What do Greenville County Council liberals think, that we are rich in this county? This is ridiculous. But they're figuring you don't know you already paid. How would you feel if your credit card company billed you twice? You went and bought a new suit because you needed it for work, and you paid one time, and then they billed you a second time, and then you paid again for the suit. You'd be mad. You'd call somebody. You'd want your money back. You'd say it's an error. That is what they're trying to do right now with this penny sales tax. Vote no in Greenville County. voting records absolutely shattered in Georgia. Unbelievable, these numbers that folks are posting. The Sunday vote total wound up being 42,400 votes cast. All-time high and nearly doubled the 2022 tally. First day of early voting alone, Georgians cast more than 313,000 in-person ballots. That's 123% higher than the previous day one record. So in case you wondered, are people feeling it? They are. They're feeling it. So, look, there's some a lot of good signs here, a lot of bad signs here, weird signs here. But for the most part, I think that that this is us turning out. And folks, especially when you consider normally the Democrats have dominated early voting, right? So, you know, normally they're winning, but, you know, it's how close we are to them. And then we come out on election day. This is Republicans beginning to get it. We can't wait till election day. We can't. We have to go now and bank our votes. We do. Okay. We're going to have more on this, especially we're going to have a county council person, Benton Blunt, on the show at 8 to talk about this. How would you feel if you bought something new, say a new suit, you needed it for work. You had to put it on a credit card. You didn't feel good about that, but you needed the suit. And so the credit card bill comes and you pay for it. You feel good. You've paid it off. And then the bill comes again and there's the charge for the suit again. So what would you do? You'd call and you'd say, I'm sorry, I'm being double charged for this suit. Something's wrong. What if you were told, well, yeah, but you got to pay twice for it. Well, might I only get one suit? Yeah. That is what the county council is doing with roads. Remember the gas tax? We fought that one hard, right? Well, you got to pay it when you go to the pump. These are state roads, many of which are going to be paved anyway by the state eventually. And they want you to pay again to pave them. Yeah, double taxation for the same roads. Why? Because our delegation did an absolutely horrible job getting a share of the state tax funds for roads. Didn't tell us. This is a state. And folks, understand something, okay? The state has already collected all the money it will ever need to pave the roads that need to be paved. They have extra. They do. They've been slow about getting it done, but that's a bureaucratic problem. In fact, they could end the state sales tax right now and all the roads, we have plenty of money to pave them. People don't know that about the gas tax. And yet they continue collecting it. Nobody wants to have the debate about, hey, let's end it. And now the county wants you to pay it again. And never mind that more than $1 billion that we found, that the state found, that they still don't know where it came from. Want to use that to pave some roads? All right, we got money for that too. We don't need a tax to pay again to pave. Folks, these are state roads they're paving with county money. We do not need a 7% sales tax. We do not need to increase it by a penny. That is ridiculous. That's what rich people do who don't have enough things to do with their money. That's not us. That's not this county. Vote no. Vote no on the sales tax initiative in Greenville County.